with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Marnie Roper. 1,600 cases of dementia are diagnosed every week in this country. Thus, most families will be affected by this disability and all its ramifications for care and accommodation. It's important that we have a better understanding of the needs of those suffering dementia in all its many forms. Caring for someone with dementia can be very different from caring with those with other disabilities or old age. Today's guest, Tamar Krebs, a dementia expert, takes us through the early warning symptoms and what is needed to properly care for a person with dementia. Tamar is CEO of Group Homes Australia, a company she founded to provide warm and welcoming home accommodation in purpose-specific traditional houses for those afflicted with this debilitating condition.
Hello, Tamar. Thanks so much for coming into the studio to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
September was officially Dementia Awareness Month, so there's been increased publicity about this health problem, which is burgeoning, it seems. As a dementia expert, do you feel that having a month as Dementia Awareness Month makes people more aware in actual fact?
Absolutely. I feel that what Dementia Awareness Month does, it first of all breaks down a lot of stigmas that people have about dementia. Dementia scares people. There are a lot of stereotypes out there for people living with dementia. But the biggest thing for me this past month in September was the normalization of people's stories. So people coming out and saying, you know, I'm a 55-year-old or I'm an 80-year-old and I've been diagnosed, but I'm living with dementia and not necessarily suffering with dementia. Many times we hear people talk about people suffering with dementia, but Dementia Awareness Month was really about talking about those stories about people living with the diagnosis.
Well, the stats are quite alarming, aren't they? I understand there's something like over 350,000 Australians living with dementia today.
Yes, 1,800 new cases are being diagnosed weekly in Australia.
That is a lot. And what's the projection?
So the stats are increasing. We know with an aging demographic, there are increasing risks of being diagnosed with dementia. We know over the age of 80, one in two people can be living with a diagnosis of dementia. And it's also being diagnosed faster and better. So it's not that it's increasing per se, but we're living longer and we're diagnosing it better and faster.
Are you finding increases in the younger demographic as well?
Well, we're finding that it's being diagnosed faster. They used to be diagnosed with depression and other mental illnesses.
Uh-huh.
And now the dementia component is actually being diagnosed better with all the technology that's been introduced.
And of course, one of the important statistics are the number of people involved in the care of people with dementia.
Absolutely. It's 1.2 million, I think, was the last stat that came out, which is extraordinary.
It is extraordinary when you think of the total population of Australia. So what are the early warning symptoms of dementia?
So you can read many different types of warning symptoms. The one of losing interest in your day-to-day life, word searching, forgetting where your car keys are. Now, we all forget where our car keys are, so I wouldn't be too concerned if you forgot where your car keys are today. But constantly losing things that you wouldn't necessarily lose. Putting things in different places. If you walk into your partner's room and you find the milk in his cupboard as opposed to in the refrigerator. Or things like that are really out of the ordinary. But also mood swings. Lots of mood swings. And just if somebody was a very good cook and all of a sudden the things that they're making are actually inedible. Those are things you want to be looking for, either too salty or not spicy enough. Those are the type of things that you start saying, interesting, let's look for a pattern.
So you're involved in your business in caring for people with dementia with Group Homes Australia, and we'll talk about that in a little while, but can you first offer advice on all the facets needed to care for people with dementia?
The most important thing when you're caring for somebody with dementia is to first of all remember that they're a person. They're not the disease. They're first and foremost, they're a person with life, aspirations, dreams, history, and that makes up who they are. And dementia is just a diagnosis. Like you and I wear glasses, but it doesn't mean that that defines who we are. It means that it's something that we live with and we learn to live with it. So caring for somebody with dementia, it's about enabling them and empowering them to be able to exercise choice as much as possible, but also making sure that they have opportunities to be safe. So whether it be financially, you know, making sure that they're not exploited. ensuring that there's enduring guardianship and power of attorney in place so that they can make decisions to their capacity, that they can live in their community and be able to go to the local shopping center and not be annihilated or ignored just because they might be a bit forgetful or they might need a bit of assistance. And just creating also the home that it's safe for them to continue living at home for as long as possible without making home a place that's quite risky for them.
Well, talking of home, when they get to the point that it is quite risky and they need to go to the next level, presumably that's the stage that Group Homes Australia caters for immediately. Tell us a little bit about the business.
So Group Homes Australia started about 4 years ago. I have been in aged care for the last 18 years, primarily focusing on institutional care, residential aged care. So your big nursing homes, your 60-bed dementia units. And I got quite despondent with the whole aged care model, where we were institutionalizing people and excluding people from society. And the one thing we know about people living with dementia, that their community and their suburbs and their things that are familiar to them are essential for their existence. And so Group Homes is a home with a maximum of 6 to 8 people, depending on the house, depending on the suburb, with 24-hour care. Our residents get involved in everything from cooking, baking, gardening, shopping, choices of when they want to wake up in the morning, when they want to go to sleep at night. We don't do the traditional bingo and sing-alongs type of activities as you see in nursing homes. And it's really about celebrating people's individuality as opposed to focusing on their loss and what they can't do. The houses are located in the local suburbs. You wouldn't know that it's a group home when you walk by it. There's no signs. It just looks like a normal residential house.
And you've got how many?
8.
8. And I understand that your whole philosophy came from when you first started out working in aged care and you found that so many were heavily sedated, and that was quite horrifying for you.
Well, unfortunately, in a residential aged care, it's sort of like what I would call a human warehouse, where you have lots of people confined to one space and everybody has to wake up at the same time and everybody eats breakfast at the same time. And to me, that was a lack of individuality. That was a lack of celebrating who we are. And that's not what we want as we age.
Back to what you were saying the residents can do. So they're able to help in the running of the home. They shop, they cook, they garden and so on. And I imagine that a lot of those things that they've been doing for a long time, those talents that they've got, come out.
Absolutely. So many times people come to us and the children will say, oh, mom can't cook anymore. And so what we do is we set up what we would call an achievable goal, where she might not be able to cook the entire meal, but can she cut, chop, peel, be part of the process? Can she shop? Can she tell us the recipe? And many times they can do something and it creates what we would call something purposeful and meaningful for them, as opposed to setting them up to fail. And yes, if you ask them to bake a full cake, they couldn't make a full cake, but they can be part of the process. Same with gardening. We have some women that were horticulturists and they love gardening, but they can't do the entire process on their own, but they can be part of it. And so you're celebrating what they can do as opposed to focusing on what they can't, which makes a big difference to them.
And you're educating the family and friends along the way how to talk about them.
Well, we never talk about them without them. That's one of our mottos. But also it's teaching the family that, you know, you can come in and say, mom, what did you do today? And the answer is going to be nothing, because they have memory loss. They don't remember what they did, as opposed to coming and saying, mom, this is a delicious cake, and prompting their memory as opposed to challenging it.
That's very interesting. Now, do you organize other activities that help with memory loss? What are your strategies for doing that?
So we have lots of different, what we would call purposeful and meaningful engagement. We have pets. All the different houses have different pets. So one house, we have silky chickens. We have dogs. We have a bunny in one of the houses. We do different therapies. So iPod therapy with personalized playlists for residents that have lost their verbal skills. They're able to sing the words of every song, even if they can't talk. We do a lot of intergenerational play. We have some of our homes are across the street from a daycare, and the children from the daycare come with their favorite books and they find a granny and they sit on their lap. And the residents, even if they can't read, they turn the pages and they love the interaction. But there's a lot of beauty in that intergenerational play. And then just the whole model of being an enabling model to focus on what they can do, those are therapeutic. We do massages, we do outings, they go to the gallery, movies, restaurants, cafe, things that you and I do. Normal day-to-day things.
I heard just in the last couple of days about new research that's come out correlating muscle tone, I guess a strenuous development of muscle tone, with cognitive abilities and loss of cognition. Do they do exercises? Do you take them to exercise class? Do you have them there on the premises?
So we don't do anything artificial. So they go for walks every day, morning and afternoon. We have yoga classes. A lady comes in and does yoga in the different houses. And they walk around. They walk to the shopping center, to the local coffee shop, or to the local news agency. So they're very busy exercising, stimulating their brain, using their fine motor and gross motor skills, but all of it within a purposeful process.
Presumably there comes a point where they progress to a stage, or many of them progress to a stage that they need a higher level of care. Does that ever happen?
They always progress to a higher level because that's the journey that dementia takes you on, unfortunately. But at the group home, we cater for them all the way to their end of life journey. We have a lot of conversations with the families on planning their end of life and what their wants and needs are. And do they want the person to go to the hospital, or do they want them to die in the group home surrounded by their family? But that's a choice. That's a choice that the family needs to be able to understand what they want. And we know that hospitals can be quite scary for somebody living with dementia.
So what's the ratio of carers per person in the home?
So the ratio is 1 to 3, one homemaker.
That's very good.
We call them homemakers, not carers, because again, it's a non-clinical model.
Yes.
But it's homemakers.
Does that increase if they get, does the ratio reduce, if you like, as they require higher care?
So yes, we have registered nurses as well that come into the play. We have occupational therapists and physios. If need be, anything that the resident needs, we will cater for. It really just depends on what they need. It's not automatically, we assume, because they have dementia, they're sick.
And so the pricing presumably is graduated depending on what those needs are.
Absolutely.
And worked out on an individual basis.
Absolutely.
If any of our listeners want more information about this, what's the best way of contacting you?
They can go to our website, www.grouphomes.com.au. And we're there to answer their questions.
It's actually a really very informative website, I must say. I had a look through it myself, and I was, all your frequently asked questions and so on. It's very informative. It's very friendly as well.
Oh, great.
But you have an extremely busy job, Tamar, running a company like this, and it seems to me that you're always looking out for something new as well. Do you have expansion plans from the 8 that you've currently got?
So we're expanding nationally. We'll be going to Victoria and Queensland. We're also expanding in New South Wales, just to Newcastle, Central Coast, the Sutherland Shire, Lower North Shore. The need is there, unfortunately. We're an aging population, and so the need is there, and it's important as a society that we can provide choice. Some people want to age in their own home, which most people do. Some people can't, and there's only residential aged care, and now there's also the group homes option.
Well, in this expensive real estate market, it's not an easy thing to do either,
no,
is
not.
It? It sort of almost pushes you to some of the outskirts and regional areas, I guess.
Well, that's part of the reason that we started in the metropolitan area, to say if it can work in the middle of Sydney, then it can work anywhere.
Well, that's fantastic. We really enjoyed hearing about it. And if you have one last bit of advice for people being aware of dementia, what would that be?
If you're noticing changes and signs and symptoms of someone that you love or somebody that you care for, whether it be memory loss or changes in language or change in mood, go to a geriatrician or go to your neurologist and get a diagnosis or start getting tested, because you don't want to wait for the crisis. And unfortunately, so many people wait for the crisis. And at that point, choice and empowerment and enablement is taken away from them.
That was Tamar Krebs, dementia expert and CEO of Group Homes Australia. As well as contacting Tamar's organisation, you can call a national dementia helpline run by the Australian government. That number is 1800 100 500.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.